Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959. Now, there's a wide variety of topics that we often discuss here on the show. And more so, we also like to cast a light on how technology, artificial intelligence, is influencing how we interact with the financial services sector. But there's a key authority that is a regulator, a key participant in monitoring the activities that we see in the financial services space, and that's the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Together with the Prudential Authority, they've published a report that provides the first overview of the adoption of artificial intelligence within South African financial institutions. So, to tell us more about whether or not we'll be interacting with robots when we ask about our money, Nolwazi Hlophe, Senior FinTech Specialist with the FSCA, South Africa, Financial Sector Conduct Authority, joins us now to tell us more. Nolwazi, thank you so much for your time, ma'am. Really appreciate you being patient with us tonight as there's been a lot to unpack. But I guess first things first, I am actually really intrigued and proud of the fact that the FSCA has someone working within your position and your title as Senior FinTech Specialist. 10 years ago, we would never have heard of a title or role of this particular sort. So it's quite telling of the commitment that the FSCA is making in terms of leading the charge and being proactive and agile to the changes we see in the market.
Yes, thank you so much, Google, for having me. I'm excited to talk about the paper today. Really exciting work that we've conducted, and we're still continuing on our AI journey. So watch out for more. This is not the end.
Oh, I love it. I love it because it gets us excited to understand that we have our finger on the pulse. Speaking of the pulse, yes, maybe let's unpack the report, right? As you say, this is one of the landmark report in terms of AI in South Africa's financial services sector. Help us unpack the depth of the report, the coverage of and scope of people that you spoke to help us consider, you know, the vast array of influence that AI has in the financial services space.
Thank you so much. So we ran a survey from October to December 2024. And in the survey, we sent the survey out to all financial sector players in South Africa. So that includes the banks, the insurers, the investments, payments, lending, and that's it. So, and pensions, there we go. And so we conducted an analysis for each sector to understand how exactly are they adopting AI, amongst other questions that we further asked them on constraints, governance mechanisms, explainability, and other survey insights that we gleaned from the survey questions. So we ran this survey and we received about 2,050 responses from industry, which was overwhelmingly high.
Yeah.
So I want to say thank you to industry for supporting this endeavor. I know that it also benefits them to understand the landscape that we're in South Africa right now.
100%. And I think it is commendable that the industry is proactive because it does mean that we're all aligned. We all understand the importance and the seriousness of AI and technology in the financial space. What really intrigued me is that it seems as though the banks are leading AI adoption. More than 52% of banks are already currently using AI. Help us add some color and perspective to this particular stat, but also talk us through how other institutions are also playing a role in terms of AI adoption.
All right. So, yes, as you've said, the banks are the lead adopters. They're followed by payments at 50% and then by pensions at 14%, investments at 11%, and insurance and lending at 8%. So from the study, if I tell you the bank story, we also see that banks are the ones that would invest the most in AI. Over 45% stated that they're willing to invest more than 30 million rands in AI projects that they'll be using. And then in terms of applications within the banking sector, we see that applications that have the highest materiality, sales and marketing, retail banking, wealth management, risk and compliance, and operations and IT, speaking to them, improving internal processes and enhancing productivity within the sector.
What I also find intriguing as well about this is the banks are certainly leading the charge, but what are we seeing when it comes to insurance, investments, and pension funds? Are they adopting AI at all, and in what kind of capacity?
So when it comes to insurance and investments, most of the respondents intend on investing less than 1 million. You find like 20% will invest more than 30 million in investments and 10% will invest more than 30 million in insurance. But as we saw with their adoption, it's pretty slow, signaling perhaps a cautious approach to AI. And that's why they're taking a bit of a slower pace than the banks in implementing it.
What I also, what caught my attention is the fact that AI has been adopted in four major categories, right? To enhance operations, risk and compliance, marketing and sales, but also used for research. Talk to us more about this and how AI has proven to be prevalent within these particular pillars.
So I'll start off with your last one. On research, we find that AI is being used for data analytics for better decision-making or evidence-based decision-making, even though there are risks there, and I can discuss them with you.
Sure.
We find that other applications are leaning on productivity and compliance around risk and fraud, where the banks are leading the charge there, but also the payments and the lending and investment sectors also have a high use case of risk of fraud detection and risk and compliance. In research, I mean, we're used to this. We, as a researcher, I've already seen how we use AI to help us with our research, and I see the benefits of it by enhancing or helping you think through things that you hadn't thought of before. And so we're seeing this materializing in industry, and with the other sectors like insurance sector, we see that their applications around general insurance, as you would expect, around the pricing, underwriting, the claims process and the claims handling. And then with the investment sector, we saw the leading case study by materiality was research again, and followed by risk and compliance or fraud detection and AML. So this is quite a lot, as I've mentioned. So for data and for the research, they see benefits under data and analytical insights. Then under your efficiency, they see productivity and operational efficiency. Other benefits, though, that they cited of AI are around cybersecurity. But of course, that's a double-edged sword.
Yes.
Because now AI is being used for more scams and fraud within the financial sector and other sectors in the country.
100%. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that typically does come up as a major theme and concern. This might be an unfair question, Nolwazi, but I think is necessary for us to understand, how do we fare in terms of AI adoption within the financial services space versus our international counterparts?
So I think like in Africa, we're the leading adopter of AI. And we also conducted our study in line with the FCA, the Financial Conduct Authority of the UK, survey to ensure that international benchmarking can be possible. Mm-hmm. So their use cases and adoption of AI is far more advanced than ours, as you would expect. But we generally see the same trends around the benefits, the risks, and the constraints.
Mm-hmm. And maybe let's talk about some of those constraints and the risks. You did mention cybersecurity threats are still very prevalent, and we need to be mindful of system vulnerabilities. But what about data privacy and protection there?
Definitely. So in our risks, they were data privacy and protection, data quality and data security were amongst the highest rated risks, followed by, again, cybersecurity, then accountability and responsibility. And so these risks, I'm glad that industry is able to identify them, because another risk that we had in the risk section was identification of vulnerability. And we see that industry is also struggling to adequately define the risks for themselves. And I think this leaves room for the regulators to come into play and offer guidance in that space. When it comes to their constraints, their non-regulatory constraints, majority over every sector, was insufficient access to talent and skills. As we know, AI is still the new hip hot thing, and people are still grappling and improving their skills in real time. This is still a challenge. And it's funny how you mentioned data privacy and protection, because when we asked industry what their regulatory constraints were, they said data protection and privacy laws were their biggest regulatory constraint at 82%. But one thing I'd like to make clear is that data protection laws are not a restraint. They are needed to protect the consumer at large, whether it's firms or individuals. And so as much as it's seen as a hurdle, I think collaboration with the information regulator can help us find a balanced middle ground around that space.
Got you. And I think this is so important, right, to make sure that there is a heightened level of collaboration and camaraderie just to minimize any more risks. But something else that comes up when it comes to AI, Nolwazi, is skills, I've often been told by many experts, is that it's how you prompt the AI to, and how that influences greatly the kind of results that you'll get. What are we seeing from a skills point of view, especially given that we have to wear two hats, being comprehensive and clear and concise in the language of artificial intelligence and prompting, but also very clear in terms of the language of finance and the interest and the nuances that come with that?
Now, survey didn't reveal much around that, but what we can link it to was that they linked insufficient talent and skills, and their second largest non-regulatory constraint was appropriate transparency and explainability. Because we see this as a significant risk in South Africa, because approximately 34% of institutions in the country do not use any form of explainability. And so consumers can't dispute decisions like, how was my credit score allocated or calculated? How was I denied for this loan? Mm-hmm. Why is my insurance premium higher than people typically in my group? And so leading to this, the challenge also with explainability is understanding the concepts in AI. And so if you're not really sure of the model you're implementing or the model drift risk or the model risk management as well, then you'll struggle with explainability, which is very key for our consumers.
Yes, that's true, because it speaks to a level of financial literacy, but also, I guess, a level of accountability and also treating customers fairly, really, which is a very important aspect of our regulation.
Yes.
Sis Nolwazi, you have a fun job. I am so excited by this particular report because it really helps us understand how things are moving going forward. But I guess a twofold question. For us as South African consumers who interact with financial products, what is the one key takeaway we should be cognizant of? And I guess for anyone who works within the financial services space and is a financial advisor, a wealth planner, a private banker, working for a regulated financial services institution, what's the one thing that they should be mindful of when it comes to the adoption of AI within their workspace and its professional influence?
So maybe I'll have a couple of things, but link them together, because we actually have a post, an article that I've written around AI in South Africa, what it means for you as the consumer, which will be published soon.
Oh, fantastic.
And so we make it a very easy to engage with article where we talk about what does it mean for the consumer. Smarter fraud detection, personalized banking, insurance that fits their lifestyles, even though we do sensitize them to the risks, like data privacy, as you mentioned, which is also one of the most important ethical considerations for industry. And then other risks, as you can imagine, are bias and decisions, cyber threats, and limited transparency. Mm-hmm. So I think for the consumer, the key takeaway is AI is here. It's here to stay, and it's changing the game for both consumers and businesses.
Yep.
So consumers, I would advise them to take more literacy around AI, digital literacy as well, to understand exactly what you meant around prompting. Because prompting is not as easy as people think into just going to Copilot or Gemini and saying, what is the name of this country? What is the capital city?
Yes.
As opposed to what maybe you really want to know, which is what is the economic climate? How's the political climate in that economy? And then for businesses, one key takeaway I would advise is for them to firm up their, because under our lessons learned, we talk about encouraging institutions to establish governance frameworks, as well as accountability. Because when we looked at our insights on accountability, we found that like in the banking sector, the responsibility of AI sits with business area users, but overall in the sector it sits with the executive leadership. But there are risks of the fact that there's no board or limited board or relevant governing body for these AI initiatives.
Got you. This is so important, and I think that's a growing theme and trend that we'll have to see, that also sees us having the locally relevant regulation, but also one that's globally competitive and sees us align in terms of the processes there. Sis Nolwazi, such a pleasure speaking to you. You have quite literally a phenomenal
job.
And I appreciate that.
Yes, I love my job. Thank you.
I see it. And of course, even the participation you have on international boards focused on fintech as well. We appreciate that you're bringing us a global perspective, but helping us making it locally relevant. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
That is Nolwazi Hlophe, Senior FinTech Specialist at the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, South Africa. All right? think about just finances in South Africa, and perhaps this is where I get passionate about it. A few years ago when the FSCA actually changed its name to ensure that it strikes a balance of being both a regulator but a key enabler of work and activity within the financial services space, we didn't even fathom the theme of fintech. A few years ago, we were still using checks. An ATM, the hole in the wall, was the biggest technological advancement we saw in the financial services space. But here we are, moving away from branches and quite literally prioritizing financial transactions on our phones. So that does give us some perspective around how it is that we actually have evolved, and also seeing a regulator like the FSCA playing its part in keeping above and above board and on track with all these shifts and changes we see. Lots on the go. But share your thoughts with us. 0636880959. Always happy to hear your thoughts here on the show. It is just after 7:30. When we come back, we'll play a few of your voice notes and then go back to talking all things gold.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.